Well done, youngsters. Wasn't that great? Woo! Well done. And thanks for Caroline and the helpers. Really great. Isn't Jesus Christ good news?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Perhaps there's some here who don't even know Jesus Christ is your Savior. You've heard of him, but I want to just come now. Just tell me, some of you youngsters there, do you know what you've got for Christmas? Put your hand up if you know what you've got. Oh, there's one there knows what she's going to have. Do you know, or are you hoping? You're hoping. You're hoping. Well done. What about adults? Do you know you're having something for Christmas?
Christmas dinner.
Who?
Christmas dinner.
Hopefully. I just want to come today and perhaps show you a Christmas from an angle that you might not have thought of before. So, Father, we just pray, open our eyes by your Spirit. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth in your word. And may we glean something today from your word, in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to start, and I want to really emphasize this. This is 700 years before Christ was born. Only God Almighty can give prophecy, which means foretelling through mankind what is going to happen. 700 years, and I will bring this out more than this in a little while. It says this, 700 years before. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. A lot of people find it really difficult to understand about Jesus Christ, God, coming in the flesh. It's staggering that 700 years beforehand, God made this clear to mankind. This child to be born will be the Christ. Wouldn't it have been awful for Mary after all this if she'd given birth to a female? 50-50 chance, you might think. No way. When God tells you something, it's 100% positive. He will tell you the truth. And when you see this and it says, he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now let me just put you clear on this. Meaning Prince of Peace, it means there will be peace between God and man, not man and man. That's why there's still wars and rumors of wars and all the things that go on. Why? Jesus is the Prince of Peace, but he gave you and me free will. And that's why with free will, men mess it up completely. If you look at our world today, how we need Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. And as you look through this, the greatness of him and the reign on David's throne forever and ever. One thing which is the most important thing for me is for our young people to grow up knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord. And when they come to younger church and hear the good news of Jesus, I want us all to be so thrilled and pray for them all the time, because it's so great that when they grow up knowing Jesus Christ from a young age, God is going to use you in mighty ways. I really mean that. And I'll give you another prophecy. It says here in Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel. And the fulfillment of that is in Luke 1:35. The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And then in Micah, it tells us this. This was between 750 and 686 BC again, years and years before it happened. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. He's saying, guys, this Christ who is to be born will be born in Bethlehem. Well, that was 100 miles from Jerusalem. And to think there was a census to be taken, and so they had to travel on a donkey for 100 miles when you're just on 9 months pregnant, and you ladies know that must have been a pretty uncomfortable situation. A donkey for a 100-mile trip, and you get there, and Christ is born on that day. How miraculous is that? Absolutely stunning. And only God Almighty can put this into being. And the fulfillment was this. When King Herod called together all the peoples, the chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, "Where is the Messiah to be born?" "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the clans of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then we have another one here, Hosea 1:1, which prophesied that Jesus would actually, and his family would go to Egypt for a short time. Again, this was in the 8th century BC. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. Amazing. And then it says in Matthew 2:13-15, this is the fulfillment. "An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Get up,' he said, 'and take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him.' So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night for Egypt, and they stayed there until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.'" And as you can see, the calling and the witness that God had for mankind, I want to just express one or two things, but I haven't got a great deal of time, but I just want to tell you one or two things. Why did Jesus come? You need to ask this in your whole heart. Why did Jesus come? What's the purpose of him coming? He comes because John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." For Jesus came not to condemn the world but to save the world through him. That's fabulous news. It's fabulous news. But there is something here that you need to know. That's why he came. But all of us have free will. And you will only be in heaven, not by chance, but by choice. You'll be there by choice. You have to make a choice in this life. So what are the odds stacked up? What are the odds stacked up against these prophecies, against all these things coming true? I'm going to show you this. Nita, would you like to come here a minute? I want to show you something. That is the chances of it not being true. They're the chances. So are you going to make your mind up by chance, or are you going to make your mind up by will and say, "Yes, I believe Jesus Christ came"? Because the odds are stacked against you completely and utterly. Just to let you know what this really means in a way you can understand a bit better. If Scotland, England, Wales and Ireland were stacked 2 feet thick with one pound coins, okay? So they're stacked full of one pound coins. That is what that would amount to. And it's like one person having to find one of those coins which is marked on the back with a red slot, blindfolded, and picked it out first time. They're the odds stacked against you. So when people say, I'll take my chance, I'll tell you, you've had your chance. You've had your chance. When you've heard the gospel of Christ, you've heard your chance. Another thing, this is a newspaper I picked up on the way just at there, but I'll just say this. This is just something that you need to know. If you're a football fan, there's no football results in here, but I'll just pretend there are. Okay? This is written today, and 2,000 years later, can you imagine 2,000 years' time? And it tells you all the football results. It tells you the goals that were scored. It will tell you when they were scored and at what time and who by. That's Jesus Christ coming into the world to show the world, and no question about it, is this true or is this not true? This is the best news that you'll ever hear. The news of shouting and jumping for joy is what they did in the fields when Christ was born. When the angels came and the heavenly host came, there was light and truth, and consider all the lights in Felixstowe or wherever. They were dim compared with the angels and the lights that were there then. There was rejoicing. I love Christmas. It's a great time to rejoice. But there's so many people, they accept Christmas, but they haven't got a clue what it's really about. It's about the love of God wanting a family from the people he created. That's what it's all about. Wanting you and me so much that he sent his one and only son. How could you send your one and only son to die for mankind? But that's what God did. God in the flesh. I pray that this Christmas, when you hear singing, when you hear rejoicing, when you open your presents, you will be so thrilled that Jesus Christ made that commitment to die for you and for me. But he came this season so that we could be blessed, knowing God loves us so much that he sacrificed his one and only son. That was the purpose. That was the whole truth of it coming true. And there's 500 plus prophecies in the Bible. And I believe I'm right in saying this. What you saw on there were the 100 noughts. When they all come true, and many of them have, there probably wouldn't be room to go around the world with the noughts. So the probability of it happening, Christ is coming again. Christ is coming for his church and his family. Are you part of that? Don't be left out, because if you are, it's for eternity. It's not for a day, it's not for a week, it's not for a month, it's eternity. Because God has made it so we all share some love, some joy, some peace in this world, but all that will be taken away. You will not be left with any good thing that Christ counters for. Every good thing of God, you'll be separated from. So he gives us a choice. And I pray today, let's shut our eyes for just for a moment. I just want to pray. And I want to ask anybody here today, if you have not known Jesus Christ, but want to open your eyes to see him on this celebration day, please just raise your hand. Just raise your hand to know that Jesus Christ loves you and he wants you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your love and your goodness. We rejoice this day, Lord God, to sing and praise your name. We thank you that you care for us so much that we can glorify you because you sent your one and only Son. And we celebrate that today, Lord, as we carry on singing and be so jubilant in all that you've done for us. In Christ's name we pray. Have a great Christmas. God bless you.
I'll do. Thanks, Pastor Terry. That was a great message. Got a bit of an unscheduled event now. I hope you don't mind this, but I've got a little guy here who was late today. And you know, he's been practicing these songs for weeks and weeks. Come on, Roland. Come here. This is Roland. And he was a bit upset about this. So the other children have said, well, can't we do that animals in the stable again? Does anybody mind if we do that? So we'd like to do that just one more time. So children, let's go on the stage and do animals in the stables one last time. Come on, Roland, you lead the way. Off you go, that way. So if you give them a really big cheer, this, and if you feel like, you know, you want to join in, or anything else, then please feel free to do it.